Oh, this song is so yummy. Da 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 da. I'm standing up again today, folks, to do my show. Welcome to Level Up with Dani. I'm your hostess, Dani Stockholm. Today's show is about privacy. Private privacy. I made a list of words that are private, have private in them. Private, private parts, private party, private instructor, private tutor, private dance, private plane, private session, private joke, private entrance, private screening, privacy please, private practice, private time, private reserve, private showing, privacy concerns, lack of privacy. So, private, it's a word we use all the time, but we rarely stop to examine it. We chase it, we pay for it, we protect it. But what are we actually protecting? For me, privacy has always been important, maybe too important. My wellness journey has been a deeply one-on-one experience. I have a Pilates instructor who does one-on-one private sessions. I have a trainer at the gym, so it's just me and my trainer, private training session. I have private sessions with a visceral therapist. I'm not a group person. I don't really thrive in group settings. I don't want to be one of many. I want space, separation, control. And I used to think, that's just my preference. But the truth is, it goes deeper than that. I've struggled with openness in relationships, not because I don't want connection, but because somewhere along the way, I learned that private equals safe, and that secrets are not in line with privacy. So, my body image and my body dysmorphia has also resulted in behavior that can be interpreted as prudish. Although that's not anything that's associated with my personality because my behavior as a single woman was far from prudish. But I have examples of areas where I feel very self-conscious, let's say. So I wonder about the wiring of all this. Like, if this didn't come out of nowhere, it came out of somewhere. Where did I learn to be prudish and about privacy? So here's my example that I came up with. I don't like communal nudity. Spas where women casually walk around naked? Yeah, not for me. I want a private changing room. I want to put on my robe. I want a layer between me and the world. And listen, this isn't about judgment. There are people who feel completely free in those spaces. More power to them. But for me, it feels exposed. Not physically exposed, but emotionally exposed. And that is not something that I developed in adulthood. That comes from childhood. Because here's the contradiction. I grew up in an environment where nudity wasn't necessarily hidden. But behavior that happened when you were naked was very hidden. Some things were normalized in the light, and other things were kept secret in the dark. And when you grow up like that, your brain starts to associate privacy with complexity, with confusion, with protection, with control. And that shows up later in ways that don't always make sense. I have a lot of shuffling going on here. I think privacy can be appropriate and necessary, and I think it also can cross a line where it might need help to normalize behavior and perceptions so that you can free yourself from suffocating privacy. My eyebrows will raise if you tell me you went to a nudist camp. My eyebrows will raise if you tell me that you go to the hot springs with your boyfriend and walk around naked all day. I would never. So I want to talk about privacy and how it shows up in your life. I feel like it's important to me when it comes to my wellness, from the products I use to the treatments I've tried to the practices I follow. Like, I want to be private about that. When someone says, oh, what's your skincare? I'm like, I don't know, some crap from the grocery store or from Amazon. Like, I'm not, it's like some things I just think you don't have to tell the secret to everyone. And I don't know if that's covetous, like, well, I just want to hold on to these things because they're so special, or if it's part of this bigger thing where, you know, it came from somewhere else. I think my behavior around, let's use nudity for example, could be interpreted as guarded or even prudish. But what is it? It's not about modesty. It's about me feeling safe. And here's where things get interesting, because privacy is not a bad thing. In fact, it's necessary. We all need private time, private thoughts, private space to process, heal, and just be. But there's a line, and sometimes we cross it without realizing. There's healthy privacy, and then there's suffocating privacy. The kind that keeps people out, the kind that keeps the truth in, the kind that limits connection, the kind that says, you can see this part of me, but not that part. So I'm going to ask you, where does privacy show up in your life? Do you guard your phone, your thoughts, your past? Do you feel uncomfortable being seen? I mean, really fully seen? Do you avoid certain environments because they make you feel exposed? Or maybe the opposite. Maybe you have no boundaries at all. Maybe everything is public and nothing is protected. I remember the dawn of like Facebook and all that. My husband's like, why do you have to put everything on the internet? Why does everyone have to know our business? This coming from a man who couldn't keep a secret if there was a bounty on his head. So, you know, he was just like, I don't need everyone to know like what's going on in my life. Yeah, you do. You just want to be the one to tell it. Anyways, that was mean. But it goes both ways. A lack of privacy can feel chaotic and unsafe, but too much privacy, that can be isolating and lonely. So what's the goal? We're not trying to eliminate privacy. We're trying to understand it, to ask, is this boundary protecting me or is it hiding me? I mean, I think about, you know, when my girls were little and, you know, of course, I want to give them agency over their body. And I want to say, you know, this is your private business. You know, you don't need to, no one else should be seeing your private parts, touching your private parts, talking about your private parts. That's private. That's your business. You get to decide when it's appropriate for that to not be private anymore. And my girls would be like, well, you know, what's the big deal? Kind of. I remember my daughter was doing like, you know how they do like flips on the playground equipment? And there was a girl next to her who had like a skirt on and she was doing flips. And I said to my daughter, oh my gosh, you looked so good. Your flips were so good. She goes, did you see that girl next to me? She was doing her flips and her front butt was showing. I fell dead. That's when I knew I had to tell them the real words for our private parts. Although I thought front butt was pretty friggin' descriptive. I was looking for music for the show, and, you know, some of my things are like bing, bing, bing on the nose. Like there's a song by, I don't know who sings it. It's in my play. I'm going to play it. It's called Behind Closed Doors. No one knows what goes on behind closed doors. You know, you get that song. Anyways, and then I was like, trying to get some suggestions of songs. So, you know, I asked the internet, give me all the songs that have to do with privacy. So Private Dancer came up by Tina Turner. But again, that's a little bit on the nose. But I do have a song by, whatchamajigget? Oh my gosh, what's his name? I like him so much. And when my daughter was on the show, she played all of his songs. He's a bit controversial. Let's see. My playlist is so long. Zach Bryan. Come on, Danny. It's Zach Bryan. Okay, I'm going to play Behind Closed Doors by Charlie Rich. I mean, this is really aging me. Here we go. Behind Closed Doors.
My baby makes me proud. Lord, don't she make me proud. She never makes a scene by hanging all over me in a crowd. 'Cause people like to talk. Lord, don't they love to talk. They turn out the lights, I know she'll be leaving with me. And when we get behind closed doors, when she lets her hair hang down, and she makes me glad that I'm a man. Oh, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. My baby makes me smile. Lord, don't she make me smile. She's never far away or too tired to say, I want you. She's always a lady, just like a lady. But when they turn out the lights, she's still a baby to me. 'Cause when we get behind closed doors, then she lets her hair hang down, and she makes me glad.
Oh, Charlie Rich, you're a good one. So back to my discussion at hand. What is the goal? It's not to eliminate privacy. It's to understand it, to ask, is this boundary protecting me or is it hiding me? So for me, this is still a work in progress. I still choose private over public in a lot of areas of my life. And honestly, some of it is just a preference, but some of it is worth examining. Because at the end of the day, the question isn't, do you value privacy? Of course you do. The question is, oh, what's the big secret? And maybe, just maybe, the next level of evolvement in our life is deciding what no longer needs to be kept secret. That's so heavy. Don't you think? So there's a lot of talk in this day and age. And, you know, maybe it's my circle. I don't know. Maybe I live in a bubble. Maybe I only surround myself with people that talk like me, think like me. No, I absolutely do not. But there's kind of a school of thought like, it never used to be this way. We never used to talk about politics. We never even used to know what other people's politics were. Like, that was like nothing, not a thing. Well, let me just say, as far as privacy around political affiliation, this is a foreign concept to me. Growing up, my father was highly political. He always was, he always has been, and he still is. He's never been afraid to talk about his viewpoints to the point of ranting. My mother and her second husband were also very open about their viewpoints, none of which I agreed with. I often think of my grandmother, Carrie Jane, talking about her beliefs, and I always thought of her as such a hardcore centrist. Even though I had no knowledge of this positioning, my point is, I haven't changed. I've always talked about my political beliefs. I've always been proud of my moral compass, and I've never walked away from a conversation where I thought someone wanted to challenge me on my beliefs. There's a school of thought that our world would be a much better place if everyone kept their beliefs private. I'm not sure how I feel about this, but I know one thing. In this secret, in the dark, in the places where we are private, we can shift into a mode where our beliefs and our behaviors become unconscionable. So I will speak, and I will encourage you to speak to me. I can give you my point of view as a counter to yours and not think about how you should be deprogrammed. I can love the difference without sacrificing my stances. Don't be afraid of me in this realm. Nothing about this should be private. So I think I've mentioned it before, you know, when I go places, my husband, quote unquote, advances me. Like if we meet new people, he'll be like, don't talk to my wife about politics. Please don't bring up politics with my wife. And I always say to him, you don't have to do that. If someone wants to talk about politics and they're in the cult or not in the cult, or their, you know, beliefs are totally opposite of mine, we're not going to come to blows. I'm a grown woman. I'm a mother. I have skills to navigate this arena. But I think it makes him uncomfortable. Well, I know it makes him uncomfortable. I mean, some of the biggest fights in our marriage have been about politics, if you can freaking believe that. But I don't mind it. I really don't. I enjoy the challenge. I feel like I'm well-read enough to carry on. And, you know, you don't need to hide behind that, at least not for me. I have a little bit of radio business. I was going to start the hour with it, but I kind of blew in here with only 4 minutes till 1 o'clock. So I was a little off on my signing in because I got to write my name on a million pieces of paper. So anyways, let me grab what's what, who's who, and get to reading. This is Cal's program promotion. The show we're promoting is The Kitchen Sink. Tune into The Kitchen Sink with your host, J.P. Default, on even Sundays at 4 p.m. One of the best romantic DJs, J.P. is equal parts flaneur, Londoner, and lapse punk with a taste for torch songs and conversation invites you to drop in. With regular guests, the tete-a-tete has no boundaries. Like a good bouillabaisse, bruising, aromatic, and occasionally containing something still twitching. A bilingual raconteur with a palate for both the poetic and the putrid. He pilots his show like he once handled grinds in a forgotten London skate bowl, with the swagger of someone who spent his life learning to lean into the skid. Okay, that's deep, JP. That is deep. I'm flipping the page because that's what you're supposed to do. You read it and then you flip it so that the next person that comes in reads the new thing. I've still yet to see Level Up with Danny in this pack, but it's really heavy and I know I'm in here somewhere. Next, we have a current event for May 16th. The Occidental Center for the Arts presents Grammy-winning bluegrass bassist Shelby Means and the band, along with the Mission Blue, on Saturday, May 16th at 7 p.m. for an outdoor concert in the amphitheater. Don't miss this spectacular evening of classic and original lively tunes and soaring harmonies. For more information about this event and to get your tickets, visit occidentalforthearts.org. Okay. Good. Then we have a PSA. The California Bluegrass Association has been dedicated to the preservation of bluegrass, gospel, and old-time music since 1975, sponsoring concerts and music camps throughout California. They have been a longtime supporter of KOWS Radio, and we encourage you to get involved in their mission. For more information, they can be reached at 844-258-4727. You can also find out more about them online at cbaweb.org, California Bluegrass Association. Okay, I have a few underwriters to play, but I'm going to space those out throughout the show. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit to some of the privacy points that I talked about earlier. You know, I've talked at length here on this show about, you know, being raised by wolves and the situation I grew up in. And it's really odd. So there's four girls in my family, and my parents were married for 12 years. And then divorced, and within a year of being divorced, my mother was remarried to a monster, quite frankly. But there was some normalized feelings around, let me call healthy nudity or healthy privacy, or, you know, feeling good about our bodies, let's say. I mean, when my parents were married and us girls were little, you know, we didn't have any self-conscious feelings about running around in our underwear or, you know, going room to room, bedroom to bedroom naked, or from the bedroom to the bathroom. Like, there was nothing dirty was put on nudity. I mean, I'd seen my parents naked. It just wasn't weird. It didn't seem odd. And within 5 minutes of this new creature coming into our household, everything that I thought about privacy, personal privacy, nudity, personal space, personal boundaries was ripped to shreds, and those shreds put through a shredder, like double shredding. Nothing made sense. There was so much inappropriateness. It's monstrous. I mean, the level of violation from our thoughts to our feelings to our physical selves that occurred in our home set me on a path where I couldn't make sense of normal privacy, because I didn't know what that was. I mean, I know today we say normal is just a setting on the washing machine, but there is a set of norms. I mean, there absolutely should be a set of norms around privacy, especially personal privacy with your personal body. And this was, it was violated. So as I got older and, you know, started getting settled in my life, I had these weird feelings and thoughts in my head, like privacy equals safety. When you don't feel safe, your physical exposure is equated with emotional exposure. Privacy becomes protection. That's a way to feel protected, whether that's the pajamas you choose to sleep in or the way you change your clothes at the YMCA. Privacy becomes protection. It's not modesty. It's safety. It's unsafe to show your body to a stranger, and also in a place that's not private. I mean, these are the things that I really thought. So I want us to think about how privacy showed up for us, and do our feelings about privacy end up protecting us, or is it just another way to hide? You know, privacy can become distance. It can, you can be so afraid of exposing yourself, whether that's your belief system, your politics, your feelings about your own body, your story about your past. You can isolate yourself, and then you're not really showing up authentically or openly in your relationship. I found this little saying the other day. You know, I'm big on sayings. And it was something, somewhere, somehow. You know darn well I'm not going to be able to find it. But I'm going to try. So stand by. Don't leave me. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun. No. Absolutely not. Can't find it. I might be able to find it because I sent it to someone. I'm scanning. This is not good. This is not good radio, okay? This does not make for good radio. Oh, I sent too much shit. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Healing is when you stop telling the story that broke you and you start living the story that rebuilt you. So I want to break that down a little bit. Obviously, the story that broke me has been told here on the radio, in the pages of my as yet unfinished and unpublished book, in my daily life, in my conversations, in my social media. People who know me and my beautiful audience out here in the world have heard about the story that broke me. But I am living the story that rebuilt me, the story of a 33-year marriage, the story of two grown, thriving, beautiful young ladies, my daughters, the story of a successful business, the story of family who loves me, the story of friends who I can count on. So that's the story that rebuilt me. And that's the only story that I want to focus on. Some of my feelings around privacy and self-preservation of my own private body, it might need a closer look. That might be a topic for therapy. And maybe that's you too. Maybe you got some distorted message when you were growing up about what was appropriate in the realm of your personal privacy. What was appropriate for you to show? What was appropriate for you to talk about? What was appropriate for you to share? And because of those distortions, you're now a fully formed human, a grown-up, walking around with all these pressure-filled lies, old tapes in your head that have gotten between you and a relationship, that has gotten between you being fully open to another person so that you can share a life that is full, honest, tender, loving. So yeah, maybe it needs a closer look for you too. And at the end of the day, what's the big secret? Parts are parts, right? My husband and I went to Europe for the first time in, I believe it was 1997. And we went to the south of France. It was a cruise, but we had a bunch of stops. And we're in the south of France, and it was a nude beach. And I was like, well, first of all, I wasn't nude, but I was like, this doesn't make me feel good. Like, I'm so uncomfortable. And yes, God made this beautiful body of ours, but some of it could use a little bit of work. And that's also my tape. That's also my thing in my head. I mean, maybe people go to a nude beach and they go, these people, they're so brave, and look at them, and more power to them, and just hanging out there doing their thing. But for me, I'm just like, put a bathing suit on. Like, that's your personal business. I don't need to be assaulted with it. I remember my daughter was in eighth grade, and she was at like a basketball game or something in middle school, and she came home and she was all Twitter painted, and I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, Mom, I'm at the basketball game, and this came over my phone. And it was an eighth grade DICK pic. An eighth grader sent my daughter a picture of his situation. And she was like, I just don't know what to do. And I was like, really? What's that young man's name? So I go right to the middle school directory and call up that parent. And I say, we need to have a chat. I understand this is a volatile world. Our youngsters are being exposed to so many things on the internet, whether that's on YouTube or in porn or whatever. And this is like a thing. This is what you do to tell a girl you like her. But I'm going to have to say that's not appropriate. And I need you to tell your son that's not appropriate. And if you'd like, I'd be happy to talk to him. Like, we don't, that's not appropriate in eighth grade. And I know that there's a, you know, now in the dating world, thank you, baby Jesus, that I'm not in the dating world. And people are sending like pictures of their private situation. No. No. Followed by an emphatic, no, thank you. There was also a girl that went to school with one of my daughters, and she had a Snapchat, did a Snapchat. I don't even know how you talk about it. Made a Snapchat of her private parts and sent it to one person. Well, I don't need to tell you. You've all watched Law and Order. What happened? He screenshotted the Snapchat and he sent that to everyone, including my daughter. And we were walking off a plane after Christmas break from Maui, and she was like, ah! And I was like, oh my God, what happened? She's like, look at this picture. And I was like, wow, why? Honey, who are your people? Let me help you. Like, you got some inappropriate messages about your personal privacy. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. That's the kind of stuff that I grew up with. And the messaging, I mean, thank you, God, we didn't have phones when I was in my dating world. Could you imagine half the existing population be in jail? But I'm just not doing that. I'm not flashing someone. We could have a camera and go take pictures and get those pictures developed. And sometimes it'd slide by and you'd end up with, you know, your boobs in a 4x6. But it just, we didn't do that. That wasn't the time. But now it's just these phones. It's just everything. It's so heavy. Okay, I have some music. I'm going to play that song by Zach Bryan because it's so amazing. I brought a book with me. It's called Heart Talk. It's by Cleo Wade. I gave this book as a gift for Christmas a few years ago to like three or four people. It's a national bestseller. It's poetic wisdom for a better life. This book is gold. Solid freaking gold. First of all, it's written really cutesy-wootsy. It's got, let's see, I'm going to tell you how many pages it has. It has 212 pages, and then the last two pages is a note from the author, Cleo Wade. So I marked some things that I want to read. But let me play a song, do my underwriter acknowledgments, and then I'll be back. All right? Sounds like a deal. This is going to be I Remember Everything by Zach Bryan. Get ready, folks.
Rotgut whiskey's gonna ease my mind. Beach towel dress on the drying line. Do I remind you of your daddy in his 88 Ford? Labrador hanging out the passenger door. The sand from your hair is blowing in my eyes. Blame it on the beach, grown men don't cry. Do you remember that beat down basement couch? I'd sing you my love songs and you'd tell me about how your mama ran off and pawned her ring. I remember everything. A cold shoulder, a closing time. You were begging me to stay till the sun rose. Strange words come on out of a grown man's mouth when his mind's broke. Pictures and passing time, you only smile like that when you're drinking. I wish I didn't, but I do remember every moment on the nights with you.
You're drinking everything to ease your mind. You're like concrete feet in the summer heat. It burns like hell when two souls meet. No, you'll never be the man that you always swore. But I'll remember you singing in that 88 Ford. A cold shoulder, a closing time. You were begging me to stay till the sun rose. Strange words. And passing time, you only smile like that when you're drinking. I wish I didn't, but I do remember every moment on the nights with you.
Cold shoulder, closing time, you were begging me to stay till the sun rose. Strange words come on out of a grown man's mouth when his mind's broke. Pictures and passing time, you only smile like that when you're drinking. I wish I didn't, but I do remember every moment on the nights with you. Rod girl whiskey's gonna ease my mind. Beach towel dress on the drying line. Do I remind you of your daddy in my 88 Ford? Labrador hanging out the passenger door.
That's a good one, isn't it? I love that line. Labrador hanging out the passenger door. Stop it. I love a little puppy dog hanging out the passenger door. All right, I'm going to bust out a few underwriters. We're going to do 14 and 15. Okay.
Farm to Pantry has been nurturing the community of Sonoma County for over 16 years. Living in such a bountiful spot on earth, it is essential that we ensure all residents have access to the beautiful, locally grown produce available in our backyards and farms. Check out farmtopantry.org to learn more about the food justice programs, including child nutrition education, where you can get involved. Volunteer to connect with the kind people and ask about their cool swag items.
Are you interested in helping to provide healthy, healing food to our neighbors in Sonoma County? Food for Thought is looking for volunteers. They have a variety of volunteer opportunities to choose from, including collecting donations at food drives, packing and delivering groceries to homebound clients, and more. Food for Thought is a nonprofit organization that provides medically tailored groceries and meals to Sonoma County residents who are living with a wide range of serious medical conditions. If you are interested in volunteering to support our neighbors in need, please contact them at 707-887-1647 or visit their website at fftfoodbank.org.
Okay, we're back. So again, the book is called Heart Talk, Poetic Wisdom for a Better Life. And I'm going to read a few of them. This is called What Truth Will Do. And are we so scared that the truth will hurt us that we are willing to never give it the opportunity to let it teach us, motivate us, inspire us, heal us, and maybe, just maybe, free us too? Stop it. How about this? A message from today. Maybe don't tomorrow your life away. So my husband always says to people when they start talking about, he always goes, don't forecast what's going to happen. This is that message. Maybe don't tomorrow your life away. I don't know. Pretty good. Pretty good, Cleo. I skipped one. Let me go back. I got post-it notes sticking out the top of this. This one is called I Choose to Shine. What is within us appears before us. When I think like a cactus too long, all of a sudden, a cactus I am in the desert. I am without water, and not even the one I love can touch me. So I think like the sun instead and nourish the growth of all with my light and my warmth. Okay, pretty good. For some reason, when I stored this book, it was at my house in Arizona when I was there last weekend, I picked it up. This page that I'm going to read the thing from got bent and the book was like kind of creaked open with this page crumpled up. I don't know if it's a sign, but it kind of feels like one. This is called Love Never Lies. Shame never tells the truth. It tells you you are not good enough. The truth is you are. It tells you you have to be perfect. The truth is you don't. It tells you your mistakes are fatal wounds. The truth is you heal. It tells you everything has fallen apart. The truth is, you will rebuild. It tells you that you will stay sunken in despair. The truth is, you will rise. It tells you you failed and lost, and you got hurt. The truth is, you learned what to do next. You gained knowledge from your knockdown, and you found out just how strong you are. It says you will never make it. The truth is, keep going. For shame said you would never survive, and the truth is, you are still here. Okay, I see you. I hear you. I had such an emotional day yesterday. I was crying, just crying, so much. I cried like 4 times, and I was just depleted. I was so wrung out from emotions of sadness and pride and just so many different things that were going on yesterday. But I wanted to touch on one of the things, which is I did a show a while back, I don't know, seven months ago, maybe longer, about living organ donation, because I was thinking and talking about my friend Todd and how he needs a kidney donation. So he got a donor, and he's having his transplant surgery on Tuesday. And the story of the donor will bring you to your knees. So I'm going to tell it. I forgot to tell him that I was going to tell it, but he tells everyone, so I don't think I need his permission. I hope not. So Todd was a professional athlete. He played baseball in the I think it's AAA affiliates, right? They had their own league, the AAA does. So he was like 21, 22 years old, trying to make it to the bigs. And he played on a team called the Salt Lake City Trappers in Salt Lake City, Utah. He was with the team, I think, for a year, maybe more. That detail is irrelevant. They had a bat boy on the team, Ryan, who was like 10, 11 at the time. He was the bat boy for the AAA affiliate. And, of course, Todd, being Todd, he's goofy and friendly and funny and tells a million jokes. He and Ryan became really good friends. So Todd's 21, 22. Ryan's 10, 11. You know, he's like idolizing this guy who, you know, is professional, professional athlete. And so about a year ago, a movie was made about the Salt Lake City Trappers because they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They had the longest winning streak in professional baseball. I mean, the people on the team, including Todd, they're in the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame. It's a big deal. They had this record. So a movie was made about it. It's called The Streak. It's an amazing movie. I highly recommend it. It's streaming if you want to watch it. But they were, you know, showing the movie, like debuting the movie. They did a movie screening in Nashville, and they did one in Salt Lake City. Well, when they went back to Salt Lake City, you know, some of the players that are still kicking went back for the screening, you know, back to the old stomping grounds. And Todd went, and he's, you know, sees Ryan, who's now a grown man, you know, in his 50s, you know, family man. And he's like, oh my gosh, da da da. And Ryan's like, you know, hugging him. And anyways, they get to talking, and Todd's like, blah, 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 I got to get a kidney transplant. Ryan gets tested. Ryan is a match. See, it's such a story. So that's his living donor, his bat boy from 40 years ago. I mean, this is a Lifetime movie. So Ryan and his family are coming out here, and the transplant is going to take place on Tuesday, and lots of emotions around it. I mean, mostly the emotion is thank you, God, that there's a donor who is willing to donate and who's a match, and that, you know, it's going to save Todd's life, essentially. Prolong his life for sure. And just the beauty of all of that. So, kind of heavy, right? And I was crying about that yesterday, too, because I asked my friend to help me. Well, not to help me. I literally told her to do it, if she could, write a prayer. Because, obviously, my husband and I are going to be there, you know, in the waiting room for the surgery. And, you know, I want to have a prayer that we can all do, hold hands and do a prayer. It's going to be just a small group in there, like 5 or 7 people. So my friend wrote this prayer and she sent it to me and I was driving. So I click on the message from her. So it's like the prayer is being read to me and I'm going to have to pull over. Like I'm bawling my head off, crying. And I was driving to an appointment. So I'm like, oh, this should be pretty. So between that and the realization that the surgery is really happening, plus it was National Nurses, it is National Nurses Week. So, you know, I reached out to some of my friends who are nurses. I don't know. I'm an emotional wreck or on an emotional roller coaster or whatever it is, emotional. You're listening to Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. This is KOWS LP. 92.5 FM from Occidental, California, streaming on the web at kowsfm.com. I also have all my shows on my Spotify channel. So if you miss the live show, you can always listen to it tomorrow. So I have a bunch of songs that I could play, but I want to play another Zach Bryan song. I don't know. I might really be into him. It's called The 5th of May. 5th of May already came and went, but this is a good song. So let me play that, and then we'll see if I have any time left at the end.
Mm-hmm. Mama's gripping on her hip on the 5th of May, in a photo daddy took on a humid day, in a town, it's anyone's guess, way out in western Kentucky. She's broken hearted as he's riding away on a motorbike out to East LA to find a white line. It's such a fine line between broken and lucky. Getting high's easy, getting drunk's fine. It's the getting by that'll get a soul down. So if you need me, know that I'm leading somewhere along in some coastal town. Some coastal town. And I can feel when your body ain't in this bed. I can still hear you laughing last spring in my head. Now it's April and I hate you and I'm heading home. The little notes that you left for me in coat pockets and cabinetry are in a shoebox from when we once talked, back when I felt free. Getting high's easy, getting drunk's fine. It's the getting by that'll get us all down. So if you need me, know that I'm leading somewhere along in some coastal. Mama's gripping on her hip on the 5th of May, in a photo daddy took on a humid day, in a town, it's anyone's guess, way out in western Kentucky.
Getting high's easy, getting drunk's fine. It's the getting by that'll get us all down. So if you need me, know that I'm leading somewhere along in some coastal.
A banger, right? I really like that song. So everyone has seen all the news with the Hunter virus and the people on that cruise ship. And if you didn't have PTSD about that, then you just weren't paying attention when COVID came out. So I was talking to my daughter on the phone this morning and she's like, Mom, what the heck? You know, are we going to get it? Are we heading for another pandemic? This is what we've done. Okay. This is what we've done to our children. We have scared them so much, and they have so many leftover anxieties and PTSD moments from that dang COVID thing, that any little thing, we're like, oh no, is that going to turn into an epidemic or a pandemic? We can't do that again. No, we can't do that again. And this is not that. Please, this is not that. It's serious and it's a thing, and no one ever heard of the Hunter virus until what's his bucket and his wife died from it, Gene Hackman and his wife. But then I have questions about that too. What is your life like? Explain to me. What is your life like that you have rat feces in and around your home to the degree that you're breathing it in? Like, you need a cleaning service. And that might sound elitist and judgmental. Yeah, it might. But come on now. This is very preventable. So, I don't know. The Hunter virus is out there. There's 40 people that got off the cruise ship that apparently vanished into thin air, so they're trying to track them down. It's a cluster, to be sure. But gosh, it's nice to focus on a Hunter virus instead of a Strait of Hormuz. Am I right? Okay, so we talked about privacy. That's how we started this whole thing. And I want you to guard your privacy. I want you to guard your personal privacy in a way that makes sense for you. No one is entitled to anything of yours. Your personal space, your personal parts, your personal beliefs, your person. That is your private business. You get to decide who, what, when, where, how, and why. There's no magic calculation that lets you know when. There's nothing. That's all on you. And if that's the weight that you have to carry, the protection of your personal privacy, it's a pretty important load to carry. And I encourage all of us to think about privacy, think about negative privacy messages that we received, think about positive privacy messages that we received, and how we have translated that to our children, how we have grown into a fully formed human by changing some of the things that you were taught, or by reinforcing some of those amazing lessons that you learned as a child to make you feel comfortable in your own skin while still protecting your own privacy. So I have access to a lot of private stuff. Like I said, one-on-one sessions with Pilates and a personal trainer and visceral therapy and da-da-da-da-da. It is an embarrassment of riches to be able to do all of that. And I know what a privilege it is, and I'm very, very thankful for it and grateful. But I just don't think I would be doing it if I couldn't do it that way. That's what feels safe for me. That's what makes me feel comfort. That's what makes me feel powerful. And that's what makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something. So this wellness journey of mine that started this whole Level Up with Dani, this is ongoing. This is life. This is my new life. So, you know, started when I turned 60. I'm staring 64 right in the titties. She's right in front of me. And I'm here for it. I am ready for her. You're not going to scare me with another year older, okay? It's not going to happen. I've got so much to do, so much to experience. Grandchildren and travel and hanging out with my friends and hanging out with my sister and going to the movies and, you know, buying stuff on Amazon and planning trips and all the things I love to do. Shan't be stolen from me by turning another year older. So stay on your path or start your path. We have the power to do that. And if you need motivation, Level Up with Dani. I'm here every other week. Today's the 7th. I'll see you on the 21st. Take care of each other out there. I'm going to put my music on socials so you know what songs I played in case you want to listen to them and add them to your playlist. It's such a vibe in here right now. I think we have an ant problem. And so, you know, I'm choosing to stand up for my health, but it's really necessary because there's ants everywhere. All right.